Welcome. The content on this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from several sources. I'm going to start with an article from the Seniors Guide magazine, which I started last time, but there were two sections I didn't get to. And this is about trimming your monthly budget. And the last two sections have to do with debt and insurance. So, debt. You can cut $360 per month. The Federal Reserve is expected to continue cutting rates this year. With interest starting to decrease, refinancing of mortgages, along with consolidating high-interest credit card debt, should become a top priority. By doing so, you can lower your monthly payments by hundreds without sacrificing your lifestyle. The average U.S. household has over $151,000 in debt, according to WalletHub. That includes mortgages and credit card debt, averaging around $9,800. Based on those numbers, refinancing your mortgage to a rate that is at least 1% lower could save about $100 per month, while consolidating your credit card debt to a lower interest loan could save about $40 per month. In both cases, you're also potentially saving tens of thousands over the long term by paying less interest overall. Meanwhile, the average monthly payment on a loan for a new car is $749. Simply trading that new car in for a reliable used one could drop your payment to $529, a savings of $220 per month. If you can downsize to just one car for your household, giving up that $749 monthly payment and saving more on car insurance, fuel, and maintenance would add a lot of breathing room to your budget in one fell swoop. Insurance. Cut $360 per month. Here are a few of the most effective ways to lower your home and car insurance premiums. If you're able to use all of them for both policies, you could save up to $360 per month. Shop around for new car and home insurance. Those who switch save $461 per year on average for car insurance. You might be able to see similar savings on home insurance. Raise your deductibles. For home insurance, raising your deductible from $500 to $1,000 can lower your premium by 25%. That's over $600 per year in savings based on current average home insurance rates. You could lower your car insurance costs by about $800 per year by doing the same thing. If you're able to follow the advice that I've given you above about downsizing from two cars to one, tack on about $2,100 per year in savings to your tab. In many cases, the strategies that we've talked about are about trimming waste and making tweaks that put more cash in your pocket while minimizing the impact on your lifestyle. There are still plenty of ways to trim your monthly budget, even if you feel like you already eliminated the obvious expenses like dining out or splurging on a morning coffee. And the author of this piece was Rachel Green, who is a personal finance writer at Kiplinger.com. For more on this and similar money topics, visit Kiplinger.com. Now, I'd like to change subjects here and go to AARP, the magazine, to an article we started a few weeks ago, Meet the Super Cruisers. What even occasional travelers can learn from their extensive onboard experiences. The travel journalist, Belinda Lutzik, 56. Lutzik has covered the industry for more than 10 years and has taken 32 cruises. What she has learned. At a port, seek out a locally owned restaurant. Find a local designer and purchase something. Most people get off the ship with the mindset of, I'm just going to go walk around on a tour and buy a magnet. But if 3,000 people descend on a town, make it worth it for that local economy. If we want to stop towns from losing their character, we have to put our dollars toward what we want to see. Seek out somewhere that hasn't been constructed just for your gaze. I had one of the loveliest days on Greece's Amorgos Island. While other passengers went off on walking tours, my partner, fellow journalist Jean Sloan, 56, and I headed in the opposite direction. It took us along the coastline and down to a slip of sand where we swam in the cool waters and drank Freddo Cappuccino, Greek iced coffee, on the beach. I have a personal rule that unless a bus tour is to something like a world wonder, I will never join one again. Get up early and wander. Find those quiet moments in the morning, like on the aft deck, and sit and watch the sea stream away as you're sailing. There's a quiet that you don't get any other time. Then there's the fun manager, Sen Alvarez, 45. Alvarez is the entertainment and engagement manager for Windstar Cruises, Star Legend, overseeing shows, games, lectures, and more. He is at sea about 8 months each year. What he has learned? Skip buying the Wi-Fi package. Give yourself a break from the screen. It's one of the best ways to actually vacation. Pretend it's the 70s, before cell phones. People made real talk and memories instead of staring at a screen. On ships with big production shows, go for the early evening slot, usually 7 p.m. These shows are a big deal, with a full cast of dancers and singers, lights, lasers, and sometimes acrobats. But with the late show, members get cut short, or the energy dips because the audience is winding down. Then we have the Ocean Cruise executive, Bob Dickinson, 83. Dickinson is a former Carnival Cruise Line president and CEO. In 35 years in the industry, he went on more than 200 cruises. Since returning in 2007, he has taken about 60 more, and many with his wife, Andrea, who's 59. What he's learned? Take a cruise where your drinks are included in the fare. That makes for easy sociability on the voyage, where you're likely to make friends because you're together for 7 or 14 days. You don't have to say, let's split the tab. Okay, you had the chocolate martini and... Get the vibe before you book. We were on a wonderful cruise, but the guests, you would go down the hall and say good morning and get no response. So ask people who have been on the line, not just how was the service, but how was the food, but also what are the other passengers like? Next, the cruise director, Lael Ramirez, 55. Ramirez has been a cruise director for Riviera Travel River Cruises since 2018. She has been on more than 100 voyages. What she has learned? Get to know your cruise director. We can introduce you to other travelers with shared interests or backgrounds. Groups you for games and activities and help break the ice. I'm a matchmaker. I'm talking to you and you're telling me one story, and I'm talking to someone else and they're telling me something. And then I go, hey, why don't you talk to that person? If you really click with the crew, follow them to another cruise. A guest who traveled with me last year asked, where are you going to be? So she came to my cruise in Switzerland. Tap real traveler groups. Join Facebook groups to see how Honest reports ship differences and packing tips. Just open Facebook and click groups, then search by the cruise line name. Then we have the fanatics, Jim and Pat Biddle, both 81. The Biddles have been regular cruise travelers for a quarter century. They have spent more than 2,500 nights on various cruise lines, including river cruises, and have been to all seven continents. They live in Maitland, Florida, and retired about 25 years ago. What they have learned? We like longer cruises with some days at sea. First-timers often book 7 ports in 7 days. By the end, you're exhausted. As you get older, you don't want to be go, go, go every day. If you're retired and don't have to get back to work, don't just book a cruise for 1 week. Go longer. on an overnight in port, get off the ship and get a hotel. We use our Marriott points. That way, we don't have to take the shuttle back and forth from the ship. We go out after dinner and wander around the streets, go to a bar and have a glass of wine, or even go to a show. A lot of people run back to the ship because they don't want to spend the money, but check out the local flavor at night. On board, ask for slow service at dinner. We'll take 90 minutes or more to dine. Staff get it. They'll bring appetizers and wait for a nod before cooking the mains. Take time to enjoy the food. It's service you're not going to get at home. Don't skip the lectures. People miss great content. We've heard from diplomats, astronauts, marine biologists, scientists, authors, and retired FBI agents. And next, the ship doctor. Dr. Real Boga Sabitzo, 32. Sabitzo works for Holland American Line and has been a shipboard physician for more than 3 years. He is at sea about 8 months each year. What he has learned: travel insurance is a must. Make sure it covers cruise-specific emergencies. First-time cruisers assume that medical care on board is free, but it's not included. Ships are equipped for most emergencies, but we may need to coordinate with shoreside facilities. Evacuation or treatment in port can be expensive. Bring a basic medical file. Include your medical history, medication lists, and allergies. If you're seeing a specialist, provide contact information. I often coordinate care with your doctor back home. And having just returned from a Viking River cruise, I can vouch for all of this advice. Now, also in AARP, the magazine, we have an article, Fraud Tales from the Trenches: Outrageous Stories of Criminal Schemes Targeting Older Americans, adapted from our award-winning podcast, The Perfect Scam. This is by Bob Sullivan. Tale number one, the crime, VIN cloning. He stole his own truck. John Turco has pulled into the parking lot of his doctor's office near Cincinnati for a routine appointment when a set of police cars raced by, lights blazing. He's early, on the phone with a friend who's a cop, and they joke that Turco is their target. A moment later, his pickup truck is surrounded by those police cars. Officers block him in, telling him to get out and raise his hands. "Keep them up, walk backwards, and all that stuff," Turco later recalls. Turco is in his new-to-him 2021 Dodge Ram, which he had purchased recently in a private sale. After a few initial tense moments, cops at the scene tell him he's not a suspect, but that the truck is. "We're not saying it's this truck, but there's another truck with that exact VIN number on it, and one of the two is bad," Turco recalls being told. The cops think his might be stolen. Turco is shocked. 2 weeks earlier, he took careful steps to make sure the nearly $30,000 vehicle was safe to purchase. He ran the vehicle identification number through several VIN checking websites. He called a Dodge dealer and, using the VIN, confirmed the maintenance records. He passed the out-of-state inspection at the Ohio DMV and paid almost $2,000 in sales tax and fees. And, of course, he had checked the VIN on the door panel, the dashboard, and the title. Everything matched. Well, not everything. Cops connect an onboard diagnostics, OBD, reader to the truck and show Turco that the VIN on the device does not match the one displayed on the vehicle. His truck is stolen property. They take possession of it and won't even let him drive it home. And now he has a $475 a month car payment with no car. Turco was a victim of what is called VIN cloning. It's essential identity theft for cars. It starts with a stolen vehicle, and then the thieves will locate a similar legitimate vehicle and copy its VIN, says Jessica Rust, Director of Intelligence and Analytics at the National Insurance Crime Bureau. They then take the VIN, create counterfeit VIN plates and labels, and place them onto the stolen vehicle. And then they're looking to resell the vehicle to an unsuspecting buyer. To pull off the scam, criminals steal a car and find a lookalike, often in another state. Then they use that clean car's VIN so the stolen vehicle will pass all sales checks. That's not as hard as it might sound. VINs are public in places used. Car ads are legally required to include them, so finding an identity to steal can be as simple as searching the internet. Turco's situation was discovered when the copycat pickup was sold legitimately and that purchaser tried to register it, triggering a double VIN alert for cops. Buyers have a few ways to protect themselves. VIN cloning is almost always a used car sale problem. New cars don't seem to be affected. If a vehicle sale price is very low, that should set off a red flag. And nearly every case Rust knows about involves an out-of-state sale. That's because in-state double VIN registrations are caught quickly by state DMVs. But the system is less efficient when a sale crosses the state line. Turco spent weeks worried he was on the hook for the full amount he had paid. But after many requests, his insurance company honored a theft claim, and he got back about 90% of his money. He was lucky. Insurance doesn't always cover losses from VIN cloning scams. It would really depend on your policy, Rust says, and your history with the company. Okay, let's look at one more today. Whiskey investment goes bust. Ray Stiefel is at home in Ithaca, New York, when he gets a cold call from an investment broker with an opportunity. Casey Alexander, who sounds to Stiefel like a young Irishman, is offering the chance to invest in Scotch whiskey. It's an unusual pitch, but non-traditional investments are gaining traction. After all, whiskey appreciates in value over time. A $5,000 investment to purchase a single barrel might yield roughly 250 bottles in a few years. At $50 a bottle, that would be $12,500. Stiefel is looking to diversify, and whiskey investments sound like fun. So he buys 6 barrels from this broker for $30,000. Within a few months, Stiefel is on a plane to the UK where he meets Alexander, and they sketch out some more investments. After a tour of Scotland distilleries, Stiefel puts $300,000 into Scotch as his retirement investment. But Assistant U.S. Attorney Brian McDonough knows something is wrong. He's been seeing complaints from all over the U.S. about a whiskey pitchman named Casey Alexander, and is concerned that Alexander is capitalizing on the recent Scotch boom and running a scheme. But Alexander is in the UK, far from the long arm of US law. So McDonough devises a sting. He has another victim of the scam tell Alexander that a Cleveland investor wants to bankroll a huge barrel purchase. Alexander takes the bait and flies to the US, where he's arrested at the airport and the fraud unravels. His barrels of Scotch are fake. Stiefel sees news stories about Alexander's arrest and reaches out to McDonough to confirm his worst fears, that his $300,000 investment isn't worth the paper his supposed ownership invoices are printed on. Only then does Stiefel learn he should have received a document called a delivery order, the whiskey barrel equivalent of a car title or home deed. It's an expensive lesson. Alexander eventually pleads guilty to stealing $13 million from more than 150 American investors. I can't resist one more. Tale number 3, the crime pet scam, cruel crooks cat caper. Chloe Patera is frantic. Her mom has had a stroke, and in the panic of it all, the mother's cat has escaped and gone missing. While trading shifts at her mom's bedside with her dad, Patera does everything she can to find Percy, the orange tabby rescue cat, posting details, descriptions of him on all of the Pet Finder websites. When her mom regains consciousness, Patera is afraid to tell her that Percy is gone. But then it seems a miracle occurs. A call comes in. Patera's phone tells her it's the Humane Society of Tampa Bay, and Percy has been found. That's the good news. But there's bad news. He was turned in by police, who found the cat after he had been hit by a car. Percy needs emergency surgery, Patera is told. It'll cost about $2,000, and the veterinarian needs the money immediately. After a moment's hesitation, Patera sends the money via PayPal. She then sits up all night waiting for a post-surgery call. Meanwhile, at the Humane Society, there's concern about a few curious calls that have come in recently from pet owners who believe, incorrectly, that their lost dog or cat has been found and turned in there. Morning comes, and Patera hears nothing from the vet. Concern turns to worry, so she calls the Tampa Bay shelter, which says it has no record of taking in Percy. Together, they figure out what's happening. Criminals are scamming lost pet ads, or scanning them, and claiming they've found missing pets like Percy. Using caller ID spoofing to make the calls appear realistic, they say the found animals need immediate veterinary care and persuade scared pet owners to send them digital cash. Within a couple of months, the scam spreads rapidly. Every shelter in the Tampa Bay area has gone through this, and then shelters in almost every other state have gone through this exact same thing, says Reagan Blessinger, spokeswoman for the Humane Society. Those looking for lost pets are vulnerable, but there's another element to this story that makes it so dangerous. Pet owners are encouraged to share their posts as widely as possible and include as much information, such as unique pet markings, as they can, and of course, to share contact information. Those kinds of details help criminals construct the perfect trap. These people get your hopes up, Patera says, and they took advantage of a horrible, horrible, horrible situation and made it 10 times worse. Sadly, Percy was never found, and in the aftermath of the scam, Patera realized that it is always dangerous to react to a phone call when in a heightened emotional state, like after having lost a pet. Say you'll call back, and then look up the agency's official number. Now we're going to look at a few odds and ends. Bananas. Don't go bananas. Adding a banana to your smoothie may peel away health benefits. UC Davis researchers found that the fruit cut absorption of flavonoids, compounds linked to heart and brain health, by up to 84%. Who knew? Well, we have another Fraud Watch item today from AARP, the Bulletin. Is that class action lawsuit a scam? Avoid fraud, but don't throw away legitimate opportunities for compensation. Older Americans are swimming at all times in a sea of potential scams. So when an email or text arrives that promises a payoff from a class action lawsuit, the safe, savvy response for many is to hit the delete button. Indeed, only 4% of people who receive class action settlement notices actually end up filing claims, according to the Federal Trade Commission. But that could be costing you money, says Amy Nofzinger, senior director of AARP's Fraud Victim Support Team. Most callers to the AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline, 877-908-3360, about a class action have received a notice by mail or email stating they're eligible to participate, Nofzinger explains. Many additionally believe it's a scam. However, once we provide resources to help verify your legitimacy, most feel more comfortable joining. One caller who received a letter indicated she was eligible for a class action settlement from California's Marin Health Medical Center, which had allegedly violated the privacy of visitors to its website by unlawfully sharing their personal information. Was even told by legal experts it was a scam, Nofzinger said. The caller eventually found a news release that confirmed the settlement was genuine. In a similar case, an Illinois man received a letter about a class action lawsuit filed against an insurance company accused of making unsolicited telemarketing calls. He became nervous when he looked up the lawsuit, but couldn't find information about it. Through further research, it was determined this was a class action that was moving through the courts. It was legit. Still, there is good reason to be cautious, said Juror Nixon, a class action attorney at Simon Law in St. Louis. He says this is what a class action scam might look like. Criminals posting as attorneys could send a fake phishing email that mimic real class action settlement notices. When someone clicks on the email, their devices could become infected with malware, allowing the criminals to steal their personal information for use in identity theft crimes. Or scammers might tell victims they have to pay an administrative fee to research their settlement, which the crooks inevitably steal. Nixon suggests taking these steps to ensure a class action notification is real. If you receive a notice, look for the case name, then Google it to find the official settlement website. Proceed with caution if there's no settlement website. Check the websites of third-party aggregators that specialize in collecting and publishing information on class action. Classaction.org, ClaimDepot.com, and TopClassActions.com are three examples. Avoid notices that request Social Security numbers or bank account information and those with processing charges, filing fees, or other upfront payments. And finally, if you're still unsure, contact the law firm or the lawsuit's claims administrator, both of which should be listed on the settlement website. While the risk of fraud is real, so is the potential reward of joining a class action suit. Let's say you get a class action notice that says, hey, you can file a claim and receive $100. Your options generally are to do nothing or to file a claim, he says. Either way, your rights to bring a future claim are the same. You lose them. So you may as well get some money. And a couple of fake red flags. Requests for bank routing or account numbers. Real notices shouldn't ask for this information for you to receive your payment. Demands for fees to be paid by cryptocurrency or gift cards. Urgent deadlines, 24 hours. Legitimate settlements usually allow you weeks or months to subscribe or respond. Non-standard authority names, United States International Claims Tribunal, common in scams. And unprofessional email addresses or domain names, payments at megacorpx-support. These are most likely not the defendant's real addresses or court or administrator's actual website. Well, folks, we have once again reached the end of our time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.